Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Welcome, Cheryl Yee, our podcast guest today. Hello.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I am well, but let it be said, just before we hit record, we were both talking about our scratchy Melbourne, possibly kind of hay fevery voices, so we may both be reaching for sips of water. I'm so excited that you've lobbed on in and you're willing and able to share a bit about your business adventure. You're the founding director of SpeechEase, a speech pathology business in Melbourne. You've got a couple of sites in Melbourne and you have been on the business adventure since 2014. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
What happened in 2014? Why self-employment? Why then?
Yeah, so this was just after my second child was born. I was still working before that, still working in the public sector. And I found that work very meaningful, very interesting, never any intention to leave. but I think, you know, as you do when you have children and after you have, you know, second child, you have more time to kind of think about life. And I guess there were a few things in public work that I found really meaningful, interesting. I just found that I wasn't doing enough direct client work on reflection. Mm-hmm. And I actually really enjoyed that. I was getting pulled before I had my second into a lot of meetings that I just found were, not really compatible with how I thought, you know, we should be doing things. And so about 7 months after my second was born, I took that leap of faith and started my journey as a sole practitioner.
I hear a lot about business babies. Often they happen on maternity leave or long service leave or whatever. And there's just this, okay, I'm done. I really want that freedom and flexibility and all of those things. So take us back to 2014. What was that first year or two like?
Oh gosh. Those first year or two, it was hard. I guess, you know, it's always hard. But, you know, I had never really done any real business sort of thing like that. And so I do remember I was like, okay, having to visit different places or figuring out, first of all, where I'm going to set up shop and then visiting different places to have a look at, you know, the rooms and then trying to understand how room rentals work. And it was just like a whole different world. And it was quite ironic in the sense that I wanted more direct client therapy work, but I felt, and I did do quite a lot of direct client therapy work, but I found like half of my time was obviously around, okay, how do, you know, room rentals, like legal agreements, how do I set fees, and also feeling a bit isolated, like who are my colleagues? You know, because I've come from working, you know, with the team, even though we didn't really see one another too much, but at least I knew that they were there and we were on the same page. So I guess isolated, very, very interesting. I found it really interesting, but yeah, quite isolated and definitely a lot more busy than I thought I would be and challenging. Yes.
Yeah. So you went straight into rooms right from the get-go by the sounds of things?
Yeah, well, I went into renting a room. I was doing half and half, I would say. Like I was already kind of working out of my home office. So I did have a home office in the inner city, and then realizing that the inner city clientele, I suppose that there's not a lot of young families, at least not back in 2014. It grew exponentially since. It's grown since. But I knew that my market was always kind of out west as well. And I think one of the reasons that I hadn't shared before, Kathy, is that I worked in the public sector in the West, and I knew that at that time, and even now, there's just this huge demand of, you know, allied health services, especially speech therapy services out there. And so I had this vision in my head of wanting to be the best provider, just like, you know, a really just giving real quality services to, the population out West.
So, and do you still hold that vision? Is that still one of your drivers?
Yeah, definitely. So that is one of our mission statements, is, you know, to provide the best experiences to our clients in the western suburbs and in the inner city in Melbourne. So, yeah.
So there you were, starting out, two kids in the car, checking out room rentals and wrangling small people and clients and time slots and all sorts of bits and pieces. Did you ever regret your decision and just, or at least question it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't regret, but definitely, you know, question. I guess, you know, there's always the ups and downs in every sort of whatever job or career or decision. But yeah, it's been, you know, quite challenging. But I would say, quite honestly, and from the bottom of my heart, it's been such an interesting journey so far. And I'm still learning so much along the way that I will say very confidently, I don't have any regrets starting, because of like the people that I've met and the connections that I've made, the clients that I've been able to help, and just the impact that, you know, we've been able to make as a team. But I think the learning, just like the journey, the learnings have been so great that I wouldn't, I don't regret it at all. I wouldn't have given it up for anything.
So with this newfound business knowledge, would you have done anything differently in that startup in that first couple of years?
Yes, a lot differently.
Share some of them. What would you have done differently?
Yeah. I think my personality is a little bit of a kind of trial and error type of person. I think I would have maybe done a little bit more learning and reading up of, you know, sort of what it means to run a business, not just a sole practitioner, because I feel like that's a slightly different sort of area. But if I was to start employing and hiring and, you know, kind of knowing all the different steps, I would probably have done a little bit more forward planning. I think forward planning is really important. And I think even as a sole practitioner, kind of planning ahead is really important. And I think that also stems from maybe, you know, I've been around not that long, but it's been about 14 years as a speech pathologist. And I don't think there was a lot of, at that time, nobody really spoke of career progression, even though in my head I was always going, well, what's next? Like, you know, for our careers, like we're just going to be doing the same things over and over for the rest of my life, which was fine. But I guess we never really thought too far ahead. So I think that's the two big things would be, I would definitely be doing more research and more reading into what it means to run a business. And the other one is thinking ahead a little bit more.
So you were sole practitioner in those early days and room rental. What were the next big milestones in your business?
Right around end of 2015, 2016, I started to hire. So, looking at those a contractor model. So I was kind of, you know, getting contractors on board. So that was the next, I guess, big milestone. And then 2019 was when I started actually hiring, like employing somebody. That was around 2019, or actually maybe 2018. I had my first employee. And then 2021 was when, that was last year, was when I moved into a business structure.
What do you mean by business structure?
So I moved from being a sole practitioner into a company, a private limited
the
structure.
Company.
Yep, sorry.
Company. Great.
Yeah.
Why did you go contractors first up?
I think because that's what I knew. Mm-hmm. While I was doing public work, I actually also did one day private work on the side, and I was always employed as a contractor. It worked really well for me, and it worked really well for the business that I was contracted to. And I guess that was just a kind of like, I just went with what I knew.
Yeah, it was familiar and known. Yep.
Yeah. And also I didn't, and this is where, you know, the forward planning wasn't really there. I didn't really know where I was really going. And so I just thought, you know what, I'll just do this arrangement, because I didn't want to be necessarily like locked in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole topic of contractors is totally back on the agenda right now. I have had more conversations about contractors in the last 6 months, 10 months than ever before. I think it's really interesting. There's lots of ways to, you know, kind of team up. Nowadays, if I walked in the door of your office, have you got employees or contractors or a bit of both?
Only employees.
Yeah.
Only employees, and all of them are permanent ongoing employees. I do have a few who are part-timers. But just employees. I think that for me and then my business and where I want to take my business at the moment, this is where I found it works well for me. Yeah. And for the business.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about your team.
Yeah, so my team, we are a speech pathology only or speech therapy only clinic, and we have diversified since kind of last year. We now offer speech therapy assistants as well. Mm-hmm. So we have at the moment only one speech therapy assistant, and we're looking to put another. And we have junior, so new graduate clinicians, and we have senior clinicians. It's a pretty good mix of both. Mm-hmm. And we have two team leaders. One full-timer and the other is kind of returning to work back from mm-hmm. maternity leave. And within our senior clinical team, we also have a clinical educator. So we have kind of liaised with one of the universities, local universities, to take on students. So yeah, she does the supervision or the coordination of those student placements.
How many in your team?
So at the moment, we have 10 clinicians, and we have, I think, about 4 to 5 support staff. And our support staff is tremendously wonderful as well. And so we've got client experience team members, and we've got a practice manager. And somebody within our support staff also helps us with our social media.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Pretty big and diversified kind of, you know.
Yeah, team. Yeah. How would you sort of describe your team culture right now? And the reason that I want to ask this is that you've been in Melbourne and it's been a pretty rough couple of years with the pandemic and all. So how would you describe your team culture at the moment?
Yep. So I would say it's honestly really incredible. And I'm so proud of where we are today as a team. I didn't really know what a good team culture kind of would be like. But I feel like, it's really, really good. And in the sense that And I'll give you some reasons why I think that, you know, when someone's having a bad day or has had, you know, maybe felt a little bit disappointed after their sessions, for example, there's always somebody else within the team who will, you know, proactively check in or go, hey, you know, do you want to grab a coffee, even during work or outside work hours? Just today, this evening, I think half of the team are on their own kind of initiative, not driven by me at all. They're going to some local pub to do like trivia night. And I know that they, you know, a lot of them are friends at work and also outside work. And some of those friendships were formed at work. And we recently had an event at our local like pop-up park. And again, it wasn't quite driven by me. It was somebody's idea, somebody else on the team. It was her idea to do this event. And the entire team was just like, yep, let's do it. You know, and it was on a Saturday morning. So it wasn't during work hours. And they just were like so excited to do this together.
Why do you think team culture is so important?
I think it's so important because, look, we spend so much time at work. That's the number one thing. I think we spend so much time at work, and I say this to my team a lot, we better really love where we work and who we work with. I also think that, and this sounds so cliche, but like, you know, really, we really do better stuff together. I was just reflecting on, as I was preparing, you know, to talk to you today as well, we're just reflecting, okay, like I started as a sole practitioner, how many clients could I see in a given week? You know, maybe it's like 15 because I was only working 3 days. But now, you know, we see like, you know, a lot of clients. And if everyone is happy to come to work and happy to support one another through ups and downs and celebrate one another's wins, you know, a lot of innovative and a lot of great ideas come from that, and we can then better support our clients as well. So I really think team culture is so super important.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's not something that happens overnight as a rule. Good luck has a role, but good leadership also has a role. How have you kind of lifted your leadership skills from a small team to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to, you know, your team now? What does your leadership piece look like?
Hey there. Okay, it's time for a breather. Did you know about our Allied Health Biz Quiz? This is not just any quiz. It's a roadmap to growth, tailored specifically for Allied Health business owners like you. Hundreds of business owners have taken our free quiz and received their own customized report. And if you have already, kudos to you. We hope you found it useful. But if you haven't yet, our free quiz takes less than 6 minutes to complete. It asks a series of questions based on our tried and trusted business accelerators. Think of the Allied Health Biz Quiz as a tool to measure where you're at, what's working, and how to build on what you already have. This quiz isn't about pointing out what's wrong with your business. It's about setting standards, measuring progress, and uncovering areas for improvement. Complete the Allied Health Biz Quiz today. You'll receive your own detailed customized report loaded with practical suggestions to help you get the best business brilliance outcomes. You can find the link in the show notes or on our website at naker.com.au. And now it's back to the conversation.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horoscopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz today.
So it's interesting because when I first kind of started hiring and started thinking a little bit more deeply into what I got myself into.
yes. That was a good idea at the time.
Yeah. I remember asking the question to myself and to my business coach at that time. I was like, what is leadership actually like? What does a good leader actually really look like in the context of this? Like, I know, sort of good leaders, world leaders or whatever, but that feels too far away. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I still don't really have like a clear crystallized kind of answer, but I know that I have really in 2020 went on this kind of just blitz of kind of really looking into what leadership really means for me and for my team. And so I've, sort of read books such as, like from Simon Sinek, for example, like Leaders Eat Less. I read, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And, a lot of looking at also a bunch of other sort of like Harvard Business Reviews, like looking at, articles there about leadership. Mm-hmm. And radical candor. So a few things that I've been sort of reading and sort
top
of
top shelf titles there.
That's yeah. Right. Just like mulling over, but it's not just about the theory because like applying it in real life is incredibly difficult as well. So while people think that, leadership comes naturally, it actually didn't come naturally for me because I was never really somebody who wants to just like, I don't like being in the limelight too much. I like kind of, doing interesting things. But I'm not like the first to go, all right, here's what we're going to be doing today, like in my friendship groups or in, any other groups that I've been in. So having to step up and step out took a lot of work, like personal work.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think there are stereotypes of what leadership or what good leadership is. And I think good leadership, ultimately, at the end of the day, is leadership based on your authentic self. And yeah. Quiet leaders are differently impactful to noisy leaders. Experienced leaders are differently impactful to beginner leaders, and there's lots of ways to lead. And it's not always the cliche kind of stuff you see on the media or anywhere, or you even read about. So very much an onwards and upwards adventure for most of the business owners that I know. For some, they just naturally got it and they seem to make it look easy, but you don't always know what effort is going on behind the scenes either. Hey.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, different scenarios and maybe different size teams also call for different types of, people or people with different leaders with different kinds of skills as well.
And your business needs different leadership at different times as well, because businesses go through developmental phases, for want of a better expression, and your business needs you to be a slightly different version of yourself every so often. So yeah, onwards. It's a forever challenge. So that's kind of the leadership piece, the business management. Your business has grown significantly in the last 5 years as well. How have you kind of tracked along with your business knowledge, your management skills?
Yeah. So definitely a lot to learn. And a lot that I feel like I'm still definitely not great at. Like, I still have to really make very intentional efforts to kind of look into and learn more. But I've had to seek out, like business coaching, for example, reading books, making sure that I'm, always kind of reading up on leadership matters, and seeking out like peer support as well. I think that's really, really important as business owners. So I do have a few other business owners, LA Health business owners that I'm friends with. And, we do catch up for coffees or, Zoom chats and things like that. The good thing about where we are now is, you know, is that there's a lot more support for, I think, for telehealth business owners.
Yeah, there is.
Than before. So that's really good. And I think a lot more people are willing to share information as well. So for example, Kathy, like I really appreciate, you know, sort of your wisdom that you share on LinkedIn, for example, the questions that you post to get just like getting me thinking about things, for example. And like I mentioned, I attended one of your recruitment webinars too. That was really helpful. So that's kind of how I keep, I guess, abreast with, you know, the sort of the management side of things and just keep learning in that space. There's obviously a lot of management books out there and a lot of business information out there, but specific to Allot Health, it's growing, but it's still obviously quite niche.
Yeah, look, there's some good management principles available in, you know, online commentary all over the place. And you'll still be running a filter over it and applying it to what you need right now. Is this something you want to do? Is this learning for you right now? Or is it something you might kind of park? So, reading is good, but at the end of the day, you know, you've got to apply it. You've got to decide what you're going to apply and then you've got to do it. Otherwise, yeah, it kind of sits there feeling all very academic. And I think that sometimes where allied health business owners get a bit stuck, they might read a great book by Jim Collins or someone, and then they sort of think, oh my God, that's so amazing. And then the next thing is, I have no clue how to implement that. And that's where the coaching and the conversations with colleagues and that sort of picking one thing at a time to try can be really helpful, because otherwise you can kind of sit there in overwhelm, and that's not fun. That's not fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to what you said earlier with actually executing it. So for me, for example, after reading Radical Candor, it's like, okay, I have these steps, or I have these, you know, this knowledge of how to do it, like how to have difficult conversations. But gosh, you know, I still find that still challenging now and have difficult conversations. But the first few that I had to do, or I did, was so hard. And I tried so hard to not do them
until they were absolutely essential.
That's right. I gave myself so many excuses. And so, that's an example, I suppose, of having that head knowledge and knowing what to do, but not actually doing it.
Yeah. So given that we're chatting towards the end of 2022, where do you want your business to go in the next kind of 12 months? You don't have to, you know, give away all the secrets, but we spoke about forward planning, and it's that time of the year when we're starting to hustle the next. What do you want to get done?
Yeah, so what I really want to get done, or really where we really kind of headed, is creating more pathways for people. So creating opportunities for kind of more interesting things that we can do. So for our clients, obviously. So not everybody wants to be a team leader, and there's not, you know, like multiple team leader positions in, you know, a small organization like ours. And so it is really coming up with, yeah, I guess a bit of a diversified portfolio for our team while we're still growing and diversifying our services, I suppose, for our clients as well.
Yeah. And if we take a step back and look at the broader allied health kind of business sector, what do you think might happen there, given the NDIS, given economics, given workforce, given all of the things? What's your crystal ball saying?
I was going to ask you that question too. well, you know, I think NDIS has been really great for so many reasons. It's really driven up the demand. So a lot of us businesses, you know, a lot of businesses scrambling to hire more people. and found it difficult to hire, and so have had to really better their systems. But I feel like we're quite now, everyone's scrambling to do so much for the team and for the staff. I feel like there's a big gap in terms of like innovation for the clients, like coming up with different ways of servicing the clients, and to help to meet that need as well. So I feel like, I don't know whether it's like I wish more people would be paying attention to that, or if, you know, that's maybe where it's going to be headed next. But yeah, kind of wonder about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Innovation is going to be key. And we're excited by what our members are achieving on that innovation front. Because when, you know, the price guide is, you know, stays pretty static, you've got to think, okay, well, what are we going to do here? And I think it's exciting to really be challenging the way services are delivered. I think it's really interesting to bring in the participant or the consumer's point of view. I think that's really, really fascinating, and really embracing innovation. Because if allied health business owners keep doing the same things, they're not even going to get the same result. They're going to get less of a result, less of a result, and less of a result as everything else takes over, and, you know, other businesses perhaps innovate faster. So how do you bring the spirit of innovation through your business?
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of what's on our, you know, what's next as well. So we're looking at selling resources.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
What you can expect from us in the next, you know, little while. The other thing that we are also have been really working hard on is finding ways to help the people on our waiting list, for example. And then also providing support to our existing clients, as in supporting the parents. And so this is also what the parents have mentioned is quite lacking, not necessarily from our service, but, you know, and I think it coming out of 2020 as well, a lot of people are feeling still very isolated. And because more people are used to digital, like online communities, it might not be the same as face-to-face. I just feel like a lot of our families are they're feeling quite alone in their journeys. And so that's one area that we're looking at really supporting is our existing clients, is our existing parents, and seeing how we can help them in their journey as well. Yeah, so that's a few ways that we're kind of, you know, thinking about innovative strategies to help to support our clients and also still provide value and provide service and try to meet their needs.
And I guess for some people listening, they might sort of think, oh, yeah, that all makes sense. Oh, that all makes sense. Uh-oh, that's another thing for me to do as the director. Uh-oh, that one's going to land on my plate. Do I get a bigger plate? Do I get two plates? Do I delegate? How do I bring innovation through the business? I'm yet to meet a business owner who does not have 20 gazillion ideas of all the things they want to do.
Yeah.
So as a director, what does your week look like and how do you get your stuff done?
Yeah. So you're spot on in that, you know, all of these thoughts and more were probably thoughts I've had for a really long time. And you know, but the day to day, just like putting out fires, you know, meetings, and then, you know, and then I've got three kids and that also takes time. And so that's, I think, going back to the team culture, so important to get that right. And then building systems within the team and building, I suppose, allowing different people to shine in specific areas that work well for them, that they want, and then seeing if there's any sort of portfolios, I suppose, that, you know, they can take on because it works well for them as well. And then once that's all kind of happy, once we kind of reach a little bit of that happy medium, then, you know, this at this stage, which is kind of where we're at, that then allows me to start, you know, different types of projects. So my typical week, I'm pretty much off. I'm off the tool. So I don't, you know, I don't see any clients unless really necessary. I don't do any consulting. I try to keep my work week to 3 days. My work days to 3 days a week. So usually Mondays and Wednesdays are my meeting days. So I, you know, meet with my leadership team. I see if there's any sort of, you know, fires to put out, any sort of problems that we need to solve together. I still do some supervision and I still do mentoring on my team. So that's some Mondays and then Wednesdays. So today I was in the office, just, you know, getting meeting with people, having lunch with my team. That's really important. And then Fridays are my implementation day. So Fridays, I work from home. I shut myself up from the rest of the world. I'm in my little office, home office, and I just work on, you know, these side projects or processes, policies, look at finances, sort of more of the business side of things as well.
And how well is that working? Sounds cool.
Sounds cool, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Comes and goes. So some weeks really, really well and some weeks terrible. But I would say that it mostly works. And I know that because, you know, projects are getting done. Like projects are starting and they are moving along. And I will say that I'm only able to do this because I really have a great team. Like I really have a great team of people and very capable staff members who take care of a lot of the, you know, day-to-day stuff, that allows me to kind of work, you know, this way, I suppose.
Yeah. I think a lot of people listening will really kind of remember the bit that you're running the team on 3 days and that your team is running the team and you're running the business. You're running the leaders and the leaders are running the team as such. And it's totally doable. We see it time after time that if you follow these stepping stones, you can, manage a sizable business that supports you, rather than the other way around.
And I think the other thing too, Cassie, is that I am very aware for myself, like where I am in my life with three young kids, I suppose. You know, I guess two of them are in primary school and one is still not in school. And so I make sure that that is my priority, and make sure that I have systems to allow me to give them that priority. So I guess sticking to my boundaries, it took a lot of work. It's still work in progress. And some, like I said, some weeks are really, really good. And some weeks are just, you know, I guess the demands of the business.
It's chaotic.
That's right. And it's quite seasonal and it's always going to happen. So I've accepted that, but where I can, you know, enforcing those boundaries and knowing that my pace is probably slower than other people's pace. You know, if they don't have kids, if they only have one kid, or not only, but, you know.
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. Yep. Yeah. It's just the pace is just very different. And so I'm just running my own race and I'm just, you know, trying to make my own life and my business work for us, for me.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Well done. Is there anything else you would like to listeners to kind of know or even think about?
No, I mean, I guess, you know, I think it's really important to invest, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast, but I really, really think it's so important for business owners to have a business coach, a mentor, to be part of some kind of like actual peer community, not just, you know, the free Facebook groups.
But they're a bit actually, dangerous.
That's right. Correct. I mean, I get, you know, information from there, but it's just everyone's business works very differently, and their business is their business, and they're sharing their side of their what works for them. And, you know, it's just not the same as having a business coach or and a mentor who knows your business. Not that the business coach is going to tell you what to do because your business is your business, but it's just having that sounding board and someone who's unbiased. Having that sounding board is just instrumental, I think, or at least for me, it was instrumental to my, you know, sort of success. And I can see a lot of business owners I'm often surprised by business owners who have, you know, kind of practice, large, medium-sized practices who are kind of, you know, don't have the supports in place and struggle.
Wow. And doing that the hard way. Oh,
yeah. And then go, you know what? Business, you know, coaching is expensive or whatever. I'm like, well, it's really so worth it. Do it. Just do it. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. I totally wasn't expecting you to say that. But yeah, that's been exactly my experience as a business owner, having run several businesses and continue to be the director of several businesses, that, you know, it's well worth the investment to get on the blue line of the marathon and to avoid as many roadblocks and bumps as possible and to get insights sooner rather than later and, you know, make good mistakes, you know, around the track. And I've always had, amazing value out of the coaches that, you know, I've worked with and that my team have worked with over the while. You know, it is that cliche of you don't know what you don't know, but it's actually so much more than that. I think also a lot about mindset and defining your role and boundaries, as you've spoken to, and bringing in that management skill set, that leadership skill set, so that the business can serve you. You don't have to be a slave to it, as so often happens probably in those businesses that you've observed as well.
Yeah. And definitely for me, I think my early days, I felt like I was, you know, kind of working like the slave to the business and not doing it the other way around, where the business has to kind of work for me. So yeah. Business coach.
Beautiful. All righty. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing up a bit of your adventure. I've very much enjoyed discovering more.
My pleasure, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.